This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
China may be riding to the rescue of another troubled country, Italy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. European stock markets are under a whole lot of pressure again today amid fears the Greek debt crisis will spread and spread fast. Next door, in Italy, that country's been working to raise revenues to avoid having to be bailed out by the European Union or IMF. And Italy is now looking to China for help. From our European desk now, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
The head of China's sovereign wealth fund was reportedly in Rome last week. He was there to discuss the possibility of buying Italian government bonds. That gave financial markets quite a boost. A Chinese wall of money might be just the thing to stop the downward spiral in the eurozone. But doubts are creeping in. Steve Barrow is a currency strategist with Standard Bank.
There's quite a lot of speculation in the market that China has actually not committed to this, and that's putting more pressure on the Italian bond market and, as a consequence of that, on stock markets and on the euro.
He points out there's also been talk of the Chinese buying Greek government bonds, but that's hardly helped the Greeks. Markets indicate there's now a 98% chance of the government in Athens defaulting. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Well, China may be looking to spend money in Italy, but it's also been pouring a ton of cash at home to build up its infrastructure with things like a high-speed rail system. And as President Obama today goes to Ohio to pitch his own infrastructure plan in this country, this morning we look at how China gets its projects off the ground so quickly there. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz is with us now from Shanghai with the latest. Hey, Rob.
Hey, Steve.
How is building infrastructure in China different than in here in the U.S.?
Well, China's at a completely different stage in its development as a country than where the U.S. is. The U.S. is largely built out, but there are parts of China that aren't yet connected to a road. So that's part of the reason China's fast-tracking all this development.
And that's why we've seen high-speed trains appear so quickly in China?
Yeah. I mean, 5 years ago, China didn't even have high-speed trains. Today, China has the largest high-speed rail network in the world. I talked to China economist Arthur Kroeber today about all of this, and he said you wouldn't see this kind of pace in the U.S. because environmental and property laws would hold up the whole process. He said Chinese leaders are worried about the same thing coming their way.
People will have more environmental concerns. There will be more secure property rights, so people will not just say it's fine for you to demolish our village so that you can build a highway through it.
So in a way, China's government sees that it has a window in which it can build all these huge projects. But this summer's high-speed rail crash got many people here thinking that all this rapid development isn't such a good idea. So it's becoming clear that this window is starting to close.
Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz in Shanghai. Rob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, global shares are mostly lower at the moment. French bank stocks are still getting hammered, being so closely tied to Greek debt. Maserati says it's going to make an SUV in Detroit. Maserati's owned by Fiat, which owns Chrysler, which has a lot of plants in Motor City. On Wall Street, the Dow ended yesterday up 68 points to close at 11,061.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
The U.S. House will likely vote today on a near $5.5 billion deal that would avoid another Federal Aviation Administration shutdown. But a major sticking point is federal subsidies for flights out of rural airports. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer checked out one such airport in rural Maryland.
At least four times a day, a Cape Air pilot fires up a 9-seat propeller plane in Hagerstown, Maryland, and takes off for Baltimore, sometimes with no passengers aboard. The federal government pays Cape Air more than $400 per flight, about $1 million a year, passengers or no. I took the flight last Friday, and I was the only one on board.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Baltimore. Watch your step.
The subsidy program, known as Essential Air Service, was created in the 1970s to ensure that airlines served rural airports. Today, airlines at more than 150 airports get the subsidies, and it costs the federal government about $200 million a year. Critics say it's a waste of money. NYU law professor Michael E. Levine helped create the program. He says it was supposed to be temporary.
But you can really ask at a time when we're closing school libraries whether we should be spending money to provide air service that's only being used by a couple of people a day.
Over the summer, Congress agreed to cut essential air service funding at 13 airports, including Hagerstown. Phil Ridenour is the director of the Hagerstown Airport. He says taxpayers don't pay for the subsidies. They come from airline ticket and fuel taxes. And if they were eliminated, the money wouldn't go toward deficit reduction.
The money still goes to the FAA, and it would just be divvied out in another portion of an FAA program.
And Ridenour says the subsidies are essential for Hagerstown businesses. I flew back from Baltimore to Hagerstown with a small business owner. There were five of us on that flight. Chris Molesky owns the Wetsuit Warehouse in Hagerstown. He was returning from a trade show in Florida.
It's important we have an airport 5 miles away from our house, 8 miles away from our office.
Molesky says he wouldn't have gone to the trade show if he'd had to drive the hour and a half from Hagerstown to Baltimore. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And finally, a team in Nebraska says they've built a jet-powered school bus that's topped 320 miles an hour. The team leader told CBS this week they took an F-4 fighter engine and built the bus around it to provoke interest among kids. It's yellow, like most school buses are, but has big red and orange flame decals around the front, which are pretty cool. And at full throttle, has real flames coming out of the rear. The bus isn't going to be transporting kids, but if it was, forget about getting to school late. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you could save a little cash by driving a little differently, would you?
Obviously, it's a little bit annoying at times, I know, but you get used to it. When you have to fill up, you know, one less time a month, you know, you start to think, well, this might be worth it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. It's called hypermiling, but don't forget that annoying part. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.